misconceptions that people have about Islam. And predominantly the misconceptions we addressed were misconceptions that non-Muslims have about Islam. However, today, depending on where you are in the world, I would like to address a topic that not only non-Muslims have as a misconception, but also Muslims. Non-Muslims and Muslims have a misconception about this particular teaching of Islam. Now, the amazing thing is that that teaching of Islam is one of the six faith. It's one of the six articles of faith. Something that you shouldn't have any misconception, right? So who can tell me, or who can guess, which one of these six articles of faith do most Muslims have a misconception about? Yes. Excuse me. Anyone? MashaAllah. Okay, we have Zainab, the predestiny. Umar Khan with the last day. Anyone else? Qadr. MashaAllah. Now that's beautiful. That's beautiful. In fact, the answer provided by our intelligent brothers and sisters in Islam is correct. The answer is Qadr. The belief in Qadr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when asked by Jibreel, أخبرني عن الإيمان, inform me about Iman. He told them, أن تؤمن بالله ورسول وأن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسوله وتؤمن باليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers in the last day, and to believe in preordainment, in pre-decree, in predestiny, the good and the bad. The good thereof and the bad. So until we do both, we will not truly be considered. Until we believe in the good and the bad, we will not be considered as true believers. Now, the question which we may ask, what is the most common misunderstanding that the people have about Qadr? Who can tell me? What is it that the people are actually having a problem with? How can someone have a misconception about Qadr? I'll be waiting for your answers. MashaAllah. I'm telling you, man, every time I give a class, I keep getting convinced that I need to become the student and have you brothers and sisters give the class. I don't know what to say. I don't know why I'm giving you classes. What is this? MashaAllah, you know everything? Everything you know? Can I ever ask you something that you don't know? Huh? MashaAllah, it's good, I'm happy. But I'm starting to think I'm wasting your time. Like, yeah, we know. Yeah, we know. Yep, I've heard that before. Yep, I know. But come on, you have to learn something. Give me a chance to teach you something. Anyways, maybe I'll mention something along the lines which you don't know. So yeah, it's actually the issue of, okay, if God preordained everything, then how do we say that there's a free will? If everything is predestined, then, okay, so you say God already decreed what you will do in life, then He already preordained whether you go into a paradise or you go into hell, and then you still come and say to us that we have the free choice, but then you say that God already decreed. So that doesn't make any sense now, does it? I do, but it makes a lot of sense to me. Why? Because I'm a Muslim and I submit to Allah. If I misunderstand something, I don't accuse Allah's teachings of being incorrect. I accuse my intelligence of being insufficient. Huh? I believe. Okay? How do I believe? How do we understand the concept of our free will versus the will of Allah? First and foremost, we need to understand that Allah affirmed the existence of a will, His will and our will. He said in many ayat, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. You do not will until Allah wills first. So then he said that we have a will. He said, مَا تَشَاءُونَ will تَشَاءَ اللَّهِ until Allah wills. Which means that we have a will and Allah has a will. But as the ayah explicitly says, our will is secondary and conditional to Allah's will. Allah wills first, then our will is allowed to take place. If Allah wills, our will not take place. But Allah gave us the will. And to prove that the idea of iman or disbelief is something that we are in control of also, we cannot believe unless Allah allows for us to believe. But the fact that we are given the choice initially is in Surah Al-Kahf. Can anyone tell me the ayah in Surah Al-Kahf which speaks about that? You read the Surah Al-Kahf every Jumu'ah, you probably read it today, or you will be reading it today. Which ayah in Surah Al-Kahf speaks about that free will? Yes, I see Muzammil writing, Zainab writing, Halima writing. The two men of the garden. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ No. The two men of the garden, no. Yes, I mean that speaks of will, but the one I'm speaking about the will of belief or disbelief. The will of belief or disbelief. No, I think Nadia is asking if she can answer via sound. Wallahu alam. Anyways, maybe not. طيب, I will give you the ayah. وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Right? And say, this is the truth from your Lord. Say, this is the truth from your Lord. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ. So whoever wills, let him believe. وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. And whosoever wills, let him disbelieve. Whosoever wills, Allah gave the human beings in this ayah the choice. You want to be a believer? Go ahead. You want to be a disbeliever? Go ahead. But then he told us, if you choose the second one, what is the continuation of the ayah? فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ سُرَادِقُهَا. Verily, you have prepared for the wrongdoers fire which will be surrounding them, which its walls will be surrounding them and closing in on them. Yeah, you can choose kufr, but you will be held to account for that choice of yours. Still, Allah gave us the choice. So, even though Allah preordained everything, and He wrote everything in the book 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth, even though that's the case, Allah gave us the free will. And He did not tell us what He predecreed. You see, if you knew if you knew that you were going to hell, and then you said, well, look, I've already been predestined that I'm going to hell, then there's no point in doing good deeds. Because anything I'm going to do is going to be a waste of time. Now I might as well go out and live life. Because once I die, I'm going to hell. Right? And that person will have a justifying reason, because he's going to say, that's not fair. It's already been pre-decreed that I'm going to hell. However, if someone also knew that he was destined to paradise, then, unlike the Sahaba, we will relax. Now the Sahaba were giving glad tidings of Jannah, but that didn't make him relax. Now one of us today, if somehow he got to know, that he's going to paradise, we will be chilling. I'll be just, at the beach, lying down, got our hands behind our backs, looking at the sun. Life is good, man. I'm going to paradise, brother. This is our weird mentality now. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, they were giving glad tidings of Jannah. That's what Rasulullah told them, you go to Jannah. And that did not make them, decrease in their worship and plus in slavery. I'm sorry. Fasting, I'm running out of words. That did not make them, undermine the greatness of Allah or abandon any obedience and good deeds. That made them exert themselves, even they can be grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These were the Sahaba, man. The dutiful Sahaba of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, Allah musta'an about our teaching today. If we knew we were going to Jannah, we will also have a problem. So what's the best thing? Is that we don't know. Now when the Sahaba, when Rasulullah told them that each one of you has his place in Jannah or Jahannam already designated for him, the Sahaba said, أَفَلَا نَتَّكِلْ, shall we just not rely the Qadr? If Allah decreed I'm going to Jannah, then I can just relax, I'm going to go to Jannah. If Allah, there's no point in doing good deeds because, my destiny will be Jahannam. He said, لَا اِعْمَلُوا فَكُلٌّ مُيَسَّرْ لِمَا قُلْ. No, rather do good deeds, make deeds, do action. Each one will be facilitated to that which he was created for. Then he recited the ayat, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. As for the one who believes and he has taqwa, then verily we facilitate the good. As for misery and is stingy and he disbelieves in the husna and the good, then we will facilitate him towards difficulty and hardship. So the Prophet ﷺ did not allow them to believe that we can depend. Required of them to continue to do good deeds. Right. Now that makes sense to you and I. Because we are Muslims. And Allah has given us belief. Alhamdulillah, which allows us to accept everything which comes from sight. So we don't have an issue. Allah decreed already, and so I just do my job. I just do my job, and what Allah decreed, I don't know, so I don't know anything. However, do you explain this to a non-Muslim? We need to how to create in Arabic called Darbul Amthila. And you've probably heard it in... By the way, this is an earphone. It's not like my ear is white inside. Right? Just in case you're like, what is this in his ear? Allah Azza wa Jal, taught us the idea of striking examples many times in the Qur'an. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا رَجُلَيْنِ, as the one your brothers and sisters were giving me earlier. And strike for them the example or the similitude of two men who had the gardens, etc. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, and strike for them the example or the similitude of the life of this world. وَنَضْرِبُ لَهُمُ الْأَمْثَالِ, we strike examples for them. كَذَلِكَ نَضْرِبُ الْأَمْثَالِ, in many ayat, Allah used examples as means of clarifying something mistook. Remove misconceptions. One of the best strategies and techniques is striking examples examples. The Prophet ﷺ also in his sunnah struck many, many examples to inform them that which they may not understand. It's the sunnah of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to strike examples. We need to learn how to follow either example already struck by Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or by coming up with examples of our own, which the people today can relate to. And the people today can relate to. Now, I'm a regular person, but by Allah's grace and mercy and bounty upon me is that He gave me that desire to think of examples to make things which may be ambiguous in the beginning more clear. And by Allah's grace, I came up with an example which I hope you can share with others, or you can come up with something better and share with others, as long as we find the means and the ability to remove this misconception among the non-Muslims. How do we explain to someone this idea of preordainment and Allah who's going to hell and who's to a non-Muslim by listen to this, alright? You say, let's assume the following. Assume you're an employee in a company, and one day your boss calls you and he says, I'm going to give you 1 week. I'm going to give you 1 week. Either I will, after this 1 week, I will either promote you or I will fire you. Either I will promote you, double your salary, make you the manager, give you all these promises, or I will let you go. See you later. Bye-bye. 1 week. Be careful. Okay? What are you supposed to do? You are one of two employees. Agree that you came to work an hour late in your pajamas. Okay? You're an hour, 2 hours late wearing your pajamas. You got to your desk. On the desk, you reclined against your chair. You got your cappuccino, you know, in front of you. Got the newspaper, you know. You're reading a newspaper. And the other employee, what are you doing? What's wrong with you, man? You say, well, my boss told me that he's going to observe me for 1 week, promote me, or fire me. So, that's not fair. That's not fair. Now what if he fires me? This work and make all this effort so he can fire me at the end? No. Would anyone think this person is intelligent? No. Everyone will say, listen man, why are you assuming that he will fire you? Why don't you assume that he will? And assuming he is wicked, let's say he wanted to fire you anyways, he had this evil plan, he wants to get rid of you, okay? And he only gave you this, you know, the justifying excuse to fire you. Why were you hired? Were you hired to wear your pajamas, come late, put your feet on the desk and drink cappuccino? Or were you hired to work? I was hired to work. Hey, aren't you supposed to work? I'm supposed to work. What are you supposed to do then? Supposed to make the best effort you can. In fact, you're supposed to increase in the effort. And when the week, you are supposed to be promoted for the effort you made. And if you're not promoted and you fired, at least you were a good person. You were a good employee and no one can say he fired you. He's an oppressor.
you are innocent. But once you already decide that I don't want to work, then you will definitely be fired now. And even if your employer had the intent to use you acting in this way during that week, he will definitely fire you now. You will not keep the job. If you understand that and you agree with me, O non-Muslim, that you are supposed to behave and conduct yourself in the best manner as an employee, irrespective of the decision of the employer, because you don't know the decision. You don't know, you cannot assume he will fire you. And this is an evil assumption. You should assume the best. If you agree with me on that, the highest example. Allah created you not to have fun, He created you to worship Him and to recognize Him and enslave yourself to Him. And He gave you a path which leads to paradise, which leads to hell. And He told you, travel on this path which leads to paradise, and do not travel on this path which leads to hell. And He already ordained which one you will be taking and where is what you will be doing. So, what are you supposed to do? The same way the employee is supposed to do good, you're supposed to naturally go on the path which leads to paradise. You tell the non-Muslim, guess what? Your boss may be unjust. He may wrong you. He may fire you, even if you deserve a promotion. But Allah, He will never do that. Eve, if you make the effort to go to paradise, Allah will never put you in hell. So the word, the example, brings the point across, and then you give him that extra notch, which is with Allah. So then on what basis are you assuming evil about God and saying maybe He destined me for hell? No. If you make the effort to go to paradise, you shall go to paradise. Allah will never, never mislead someone who wants guidance, want any guidance. Your boss may wrong you, Allah will never wrong you. Your boss may be unjust, Allah Azza wa Jalla is the all just. So no human being can come and say, well, that's not fair, and what if, and what if. Say, listen, you don't know, but you've been warned. You don't know what Allah decided already, but He gave you the choice of the paradise, and you need to travel on the path. If you disregard that and insist on going on the path which leads to hell, then you have none to blame but yourself. God on the day of judgment, hey, why did you preordain that I come to hell? It will be said, it wasn't like that. You were given the choice, you chose. You chose to travel on this path. So vast. And His justice is so wonderful that any one of us who truly desires paradise with the necessary effort shall go to paradise. Never oppress the people, not even the equivalent of a grain of mustard. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Allah does not wrong or oppress anyone. That is the idea. If we understand it and convey it, the job concerning the misconception of Qadr in Islam, there is a misconception, there's nothing wrong with Qadr. We must believe in Qadr, it's one of the articles of faith. We don't know the outcome, we make the effort, we rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after exerting ourselves to the best of our abilities. With that said, I conclude my discussion on Qadr and the proper understanding concerning it. We can have approximately 10 to 15 minutes of Q's and A's, or questions and answers regarding this topic or regarding other topics or other issues you may have. The monitors will further guide you on how to pose your questions or being patient in the month of Ramadan.
ففيكم بارك الله وجزاكم الله خيرا. أهلا. Any questions? You guys usually know everything, mashallah. But just in case you have... Question number one. Can the imam, anyone praying behind him in Taraweeh prayer, hold the mushaf? Okay. The imam is allowed to, because of the alternative wherein Aisha radiallahu anha used to have one of her relatives, he comes lead them in salah while reading from the mushaf. So for the imam, we have an evidence, Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the messenger, that she used salah by a man who used to read from the mushaf. And because of the existence of this evidence, we hold that it is permissible for the imam, when he's leading others in salah, not when he's reading on his own. As for the people behind, those praying on their own, hold the mushaf. They should not. Because you are supposed to be listening to the recitation of the imam. And if you read from the mushaf with the imam, you can either go ahead of him or you can be behind him. You'll be busy flipping pages, closing the book, putting it in your pocket, taking it out of your pocket, looking for the page again. You can put your right hand on there to find a place for ruku' and sujood. It becomes a big problem. The whole salah becomes playing with the mushaf in the salah. No. No, Habibi. You don't. The one behind the imam, you don't hold the mushaf. إِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. If the Qur'an has been recited, listen attentively, so you may attain mercy. Don't be reading the Qur'an. If you love the Qur'an so much, you love to read it at home. Don't go pray in the salah behind the imam, disturb everyone around you, flipping through the pages. It's unacceptable. Unacceptable, unacceptable. For the imam, we have an evidence. He's the imam. He doesn't bother anyone. His situation is different. There's nothing wrong with him doing so, inshallah ta'ala. I hope that answered the question, Brother Muzammil. Next question. I thought the predestination was due to the fact God knows everything, past, present, and future, from beginning of time to end, so obviously no surprise for God. What we do or don't do, but the free choice was made by us? Yeah, no, you're right. Predestination is Allah knows everything, past, present, future, everything is known to Allah. Everything is known to Allah and everything is preordained. But Allah still gave us the free choice and He knows the choice. Let me just give you a worldly example. You have a child, and you know the child loves apple juice. You know they love apple juice. And you buy the juice beforehand. Okay, you go to the supermarket, you buy apple juice, and when you come home, you hide it. And you say, do you want apple juice or orange juice? Now, even though you really don't know, he could say orange juice, right? And then you'll be burnt because you went and got apple juice. He's going to choose because it's your son. So you already bought the apple juice based on your knowledge. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. And he still has a free choice. He may surprise you and say orange juice. Okay, so the element of surprise is gone. You cannot say something with
which Allah doesn't know. Allah gave us the free choice, but He knows what we will choose, because He created us and He formed us in the... Clear? Sister Angeline, does that answer your question? Please answer with the affirmative if so. Barakallahu feekum. Okay, anyways. Yeah, your concept is right, with a minor addition, which is the fact that Allah knows what we will choose, but we still have the free choice. We still have the free choice. The next question. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. I'm working in a company. I'm a supplier. If my supplier gives me a gift in form of an ask for it, I will be considered a bribe. I never demand money, nor will I benefit from this money. Yes, you are not allowed to get a gift from the supplier. And the reason why they're giving you a gift is so that you can continue to, you know, get the products from them. And you will not go to another company. You accepting the money, I'm not allowed, it's haram for you to accept it. Leave it alone, Allah will give you something better in return. Leave it alone, Allah will give you something better in return. Insha'Allah. Have faith in Allah, and Allah Azza wa Jal will give you something better. Next question. Salaamu alaykum wa alaykum salam. I hold this that life, death, rizq, and marriage is already decided by Allah. How can I understand that? Whom we will marry, Allah has already chosen that. So does our rizq. Yeah, Zainab, I don't know, sister, if you came late, but the whole discussion today was answering that question. Allah preordained not only life, death, preordained the breath you are taking and the heartbeat that your heart is having, and the circulation of blood, and you know, the photosynthesis of the you know, vegetation, and everything that happens by Allah's decree. Nothing happens except by Allah's decree. Then you need to listen to the steps again. You need to get the recording. I didn't record today. You get it from the monitors and you hear the steps again. Allah already chose. Yes, you don't know what it is, so you live life and you will find out. Inshallah. Is it possible for astronauts from Earth to go out to space and find Jannah? No! They are next to the moon, so someone can, you know, take a spaceship and go to Jannah with the spaceship. Jannah is Jannah. And no one enters except by Allah's permission and spaceships. No, there's no such thing. You know, people can continue going to space forever. The universe is so huge, they will never finish it. Because Allah says, وَالسَّمَاءَ خَلَقْنَاهَا بِأَيْدٍ وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ. And the heavens we created with, and we expanding it. So the earth continues to expand. Is above with Allah Azza wa Jal. How? Where? Allahu A'lam. Allah knows best. If we make it to Jannah, we will worry about it then, inshallah. Let's just make it to Jannah. We don't have any narration and that actually is. We know that Firdaus is under the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal, so Jannah is above, but in terms of geographical locations where you can locate it on a map or Google Earth, then you cannot do that. Whether Google Earth or Google Space, Jannah is there. You know, it's Allah's gift. Wallahu a'lam. Next. During times when women can't fast and pray, is it okay to recite verbally? I've heard different opinions. Yes, a sister may recite from her memory if she's trying to avoid, you know, forgetting the Quran. She may recite from her memory or from the Mus'haf without it. Wallahu a'lam. That's the position that I personally follow.
Well, just next. If someone steps on, what they have to do? Allah musta'an. If someone had sexual intercourse with his wife during fasting, you said in Ramadan. If you do it in Ramadan during the night, no problem. But if someone did it while fasting, meaning between to sunset, then they have to emancipate or free a slave. If they're unable to do so, then they need to fast too. If they're unable to do so, then they have to feed 60 poor people. And the scholars have differed on the ruling of the women. This is for the men. Some of the scholars say if the woman didn't do it willingly, she was forced by her husband, there's nothing on her. And some of them said that if she did it willingly, then she has to offer an equal expiation. However, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ indicates that when the man came and told him, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, I have been destroyed." He told him why. He said, I slept in. And Prophet ﷺ told him, he did not ask him about his wife and whether she did it willingly or unwillingly, nor did he mention to him that she needs to offer an expiation as well. The ulama say that there's nothing on the woman, it's the man's obligation. So since you're unable to free a slave in this day and time, you have to fast 60 days. If this is too difficult for you consecutively, if this is too difficult for people, Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. Why do you have to make up your fast when you are on your menstrual but not your salah? And also in the time of the Prophet, how did his wives read Quran during their period if there was no English translation or computer Quran? Jazakallah. Right. As to why you make up the menstruation and not salah, Aisha radiallahu anha was asked that same question. And she said, at the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we used to be commanded to make up the fast and not make up the salah. Why? That's it. There's no why. Because Allah said so. Because Allah decreed so. Because that's what Allah knows is best for the women. You make up the fast, you don't make up the salah. We don't have to know the justification. So I was asked, she didn't give him any philosophical answer. She said, because we were commanded to do so. Khalas. As for reading the Quran, I never said that, you know, you read the English, no computer. I said you can read the Quran without touching it. And women back then used to have the Quran memorized. Part of it, all of it, some of it, whatever. Whatever you have memorized without reading anything. That's how they did it. From them in the yet. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Can you explain why interest is in Islam? Yes, it's in Islam because it's oppression. It's unfair. It's horrible. It's disgusting. It's nasty. It's taking advantage of someone at the time of need. Someone doesn't have money. They want to borrow money to have money. So we tell them that you have to pay me extra. You have to pay me extra percentage? Is that making things easy for them or difficult? It's making it more difficult. The person is already in the state of need. So the idea of riba is based on oppressing those in need. And Islam does not allow oppression at all. Allah does not oppress the needy people. The concept itself is based on taking money which is lawfully not yours.
Allah, as Allah says, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعِ وَحَرَّمَنَا. Put together a car, let it cost you $10,000 and sell it for $20,000. That's halal, because you are selling and buying, you're trading. But to have money and someone else doesn't have any money, they need it, you give it to them, then you get back extra money, that's not fair. So that's why it's haram. Because Allah, you know, wants ease for His creation. He wants justice. He wants facilitation. And interest, it negates all of that. So it's haram in Islam. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Okay, the last, this question and the two afterwards, two questions inshallah, if you don't mind. My friend is going to marry a brother who doesn't keep a beard. Is it haram for a woman to marry a man who does not keep a beard? She says Allah chooses our partners, and so this is what is written for me. How to explain to her? My humble advice and suggestion to my sisters in Islam is who doesn't have a beard. Some of you may be saying, whoa! What a fundamentalist, radical, extremist on chat Islam! Oh my God! I gotta stop coming to this website! What did he say? I say, listen, if you don't believe me, go to my lecture on my website called Let It Grow with a Natural Flow. Let it grow with the natural flow. You're supposed to have a beard if you're a man. If you're not a man, we don't have a problem. Sure, you can remove your beard if you ever get one, or you're not expected to have one. If you're a man, sorry, Habibi. I could be, you know, I could try to make you happy and try to fool you, say, ما في مشكلة, it's okay, no problem. No. You have to have a beard. Because the Prophet ﷺ, in over 5 to 10 narrations, he commanded us to have a beard. He's seen some men who didn't have beards among the Persians, and he was disgusted by looking at them. He said, woe to you, who told you to do this to yourself? You know, if you see your friend, you know, with a punk, you know, that, you know, those that look like a chicken or what do you call it, a cock? You know? This dumb, you know, like a broom, that people, the punks, you know, when you see something like, what was wrong with you? What happened to you, man? You know this reaction? Yeah. The Prophet, certainly, when he's seen men with no beard, a big mustache, he said, what happened to you? Our Lord Kisra commanded us to do this. He said, Ma commanded me to leave my beard and to trim my mustache. So, if the brother cannot keep a beard, he has a serious problem in his religious commitment. Serious problem in his religious commitment. I'm sorry. I do not advise. The sister to marry him, and she cannot say Allah chose her partners. How did she didn't even marry him? How did she know Allah chose him as a partner? She did not marry him. How did she know Allah chose him as her partner yet? Unless they're going out with each other, then I don't know what the sister is speaking of. A pious man who fears Allah and who can simply not this man. Say, let's marry him. You know, if you start practicing sunnah, I'll be more than happy to accept it. But if you're not willing to do so, then I will wait for a better man. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Anyways, I believe that's it. Inshallah. Brother Manjali wants to talk to you after the class. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, beautiful. So, anything else? I think we can conclude. Monitor SF, you can, you know, tell me what to do next, inshallah. Oh, three more questions. Okay. Okay, let's go for it. Yes. No, let's go with the Shahada. Or if we can actually postpone the questions, if you guys allow me. Also, next week may be Eid, so it would be difficult to have the class on Eid. So let me just first give you an announcement. Next week's class is canceled. Because I don't know, and I don't know where you, so we don't want to miss something. The questions, if we may postpone them till after Eid, it would be much appreciated. The attention that we have a potential sister who wishes to shahada and embrace Islam, inshallah ta'ala, which is the most wonderful news we can have on this particular Friday. And we praise Allah for His vast mercy. The monitors can further guide me. Okay, Sister Angeline, name correctly, or potential Sister Angeline, let me be more technical. Understand that you have a serious inclination towards accepting Islam. Is this correct? Okay. I'm assuming you've already have come across and learned, you know, the basics of the Islam, to believe in the oneness of God. We have only one God. We worship none with Him. The peace be upon Him. Mention the belief in angels, the belief in last day, the belief in the scriptures which God revealed. All this you're familiar with, right? Beautiful. If you do have questions, do you have anything that you clarified first before Islam, then this will be one of those in your life. You'll be in the path that leads you to paradise. You'll be finally accepting, you know, your true God who has created you with the natural disposition in Him and worship Him alone. And your life will, you know, quickly, usually. So it's a very important move, and it's a very necessary move as well. So that's why, you know, we want to make sure that you're coming in with confidence and certainty. So inshallah ta'ala, you'll be among those who are firm in the religion and who can guide others to the religion of Islam as well. So do you have any questions or misconceptions? Or shall we go ahead and declare the faith with which you become a Muslim? Angeline, are you ready to declare the testimony of faith? Beautiful. So you will repeat after me. I'm going to tell you what you will be saying in Arabic. You will be saying, I bear witness of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the slave and the messenger of Allah. Once you say that, then you are officially a Muslim in the sight of Allah. In believing, and that after me in Arabic. You say, MashaAllah. Type good, then you still have to repeat it. That's good you know Arabic. Maybe you can teach some of our Muslim brothers and sisters, Arabic. Everybody's excited to learn Arabic. Repeat after me by saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ما شاء الله. Congratulations. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept you and accept your acceptance of Islam. Promise those who have their previous sins forgiven. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Islamu yajubu ma qablahu. Islam erases anything which... So by you becoming a Muslim, you have a blank page with Allah Azza wa Jal. Strive to make good deeds and be a righteous believer and prepare yourself for meeting your Lord and for paradise. This is why we were created and this is our ultimate destination and this is where we put all our energy, strive the most. And it is Allah Azza wa Jal who guides and makes us successful in that effort of ours. So congratulations, sister, we're very happy for you. May Allah bless you abundantly. Alhamdulillah that Allah gave me the chance and gave my brothers and sisters the chance to be among those who are involved in this. Okay. All right. Basically, the monitors have my contact. So if you have any question or if you have Islam, I have my oneway to paradise@gmail.com email specially designed intended for emails and for questions and inquiries and the likes. Yeah, alhamdulillah. So we are at your services. If anything is required of me, then let me know. Allow me to excuse myself, everyone. Again, inshallah, the next week's class will be cancelled and we will resume our classes, inshallah ta'ala, the following week after Eid. The first Friday after Eid, inshallah ta'ala, we will resume our classes. Jazakum Allahu khayran jaza'an kathira wa radiyallahu ankum jami'an.